Chapter 1. Arrival. The road into Greyhaven curved slowly along the edge of the lake, as though reluctant to disturb the quiet that had settled there after the long brightness of summer. Naomi Calder followed it in careful silence, the tires of her car humming softly over the narrow ribbon of pavement, while the forest pressed close on either side. September had arrived only days earlier, yet the season had already begun its slow turning. The birches along the shoreline had taken on a pale wash of gold, their leaves flickering in the afternoon light like small, restless coins. And the air carried the first thin breath of autumn, cool enough to slip through the half-open window and brush the side of her face. Beyond the trees, the lake appeared and disappeared in shifting glimpses of silver. It stretched wide and calm beneath the long sky, its surface broken only by dark silhouettes of distant islands and the faint wakes of a few late fishing boats returning toward the marina. The place had the feeling of something between seasons. Summer's laughter had withdrawn, yet winter had not yet arrived to claim the land, leaving behind a stillness that felt almost deliberate. Naomi noticed how empty the shoreline looked as she drove. Docks that had once held bright aluminum boats now floated quietly beside vacant slips, and the cottages that dotted the water's edge sat shuttered and silent, their porches abandoned until the following year. She had not expected the village to feel quite so removed from the world. Greyhaven appeared gradually as the road curved inland, the forest thinning just enough to reveal a cluster of buildings gathered along the lakefront. The village was smaller than Naomi had imagined from the legal documents she had read weeks earlier in her Toronto apartment. A handful of brick storefronts, a church with a modest white steeple, and a scattering of older homes that leaned gently toward the road as though listening to the wind moving through the trees. She slowed instinctively as she drove past the general store, noticing the way two men seated on a wooden bench outside lifted their heads to watch her pass. Their gaze was not unfriendly, but it carried the quiet attentiveness common to small towns where unfamiliar cars are noticed immediately and remembered long after they disappear. Naomi lifted a hand in a small wave, without fully meaning to, then continued through the village center toward the narrow gravel road marked by a weathered sign reading Lakeshore Lane. According to the papers in her glove compartment, Edmund Calder's cottage stood near the end of that road, set back slightly from the others. She had studied the property map several times before leaving the city, tracing the outline of the shoreline with her finger and wondering what sort of place a man like Edmund might have chosen to spend the later years of his life. In truth, she had known almost nothing about him until the lawyer's letter arrived the previous month, informing her that the cottage had been left to her in his will. Even now, the inheritance felt strange. Edmund had been a distant relative whose name she remembered only faintly from childhood visits to extended family gatherings. A quiet, older man who had spoken little and watched more than he said. She had not seen him in years. The news of his death had reached her as an unexpected footnote in an otherwise ordinary morning, an envelope on her desk, a formal explanation from a lawyer she had never met, and a set of keys attached to a small brass ring bearing a single word engraved on its surface. Greyhaven. The gravel road wound deeper into the trees, the tires crunching softly as Naomi eased the car forward. Tall pines rose on either side, their branches whispering against one another high above the road where the wind moved steadily from the lake. Occasionally, the forest opened enough to reveal another cottage set among the trees, each one different in shape but similar in age. Wooden structures weathered by decades of northern winters and bright summer storms. Most appeared empty now, their windows shuttered and their driveways deserted, and the silence that surrounded them seemed to grow thicker the farther she drove. After several minutes, the road curved sharply toward the water, and Naomi saw the cottage. It stood slightly apart from the others, positioned on a narrow rise above the lake, where the trees parted just enough to reveal the long sweep of water beyond. The building itself was modest, a single-story structure clad in faded cedar boards that had darkened with time. its roof sloping gently over a wide porch that faced the shoreline.